You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, boys, it's time for Andy's favorite segment, basically everyone's favorite segment on Six Rings of Football Things, Pat's Potpourri. Mike, this is where we have a potpourri of Patriots-related topics, and we just sort of toss them about in a nice, fun, digestible, free forum, getting everyone's takes and spins on the news, notes, and nuggets swirling about Pat's Nation. So let's begin with something I saw you tweet out, one of the nice, one of the few smiles I had on Celtics Disaster Eve, which was DeAndre Hopkins tweeting out watching Super Bowl 51 highlights while he works out. Andy's going to jump in right now and be like, it means nothing, move on. But I want to know, does it maybe mean something? And or how do you feel about DeAndre Hopkins? Are you team spend what you need to and bring him in because you need a veteran presence and a number one? Or are you team, I think his best days are behind him and it's not worth disrupting any development of the guys that you have on the team for someone like him who may or may not still have it?
Well, it was interesting. You know, he posts his video on Instagram. He's working out at, which looked like just a local gym, which I guess that's what happens when you get released from a team. You have nowhere to work out. So you got to go to, you know, the local Planet Fitness or Lifetime. But yeah, he's watching Patriots Super Bowl 51 highlights. And apparently I saw from Zach Cox from Nessun this morning, he has since deleted the Instagram story. Whatever that may mean.
Ooh. Sideways eyes. Googly eyes. Yeah. Googly eyes.
Uh-oh. Eyes, yeah. eyes.
Yeah, you got the thinking emoji too. So, no, I think, again, you talk about guys like me, you know, maybe not buying into, but taking everything with not so much a grain of salt on Instagram. Again, he's just working out. Maybe he's just doing it to, you know, churn it up himself, right?
Yeah.
On Instagram.
Kind of chumming the waters or whatever. Just,
yeah,
you know,
right. Make people
they
talk.
They all love attention. They're all whores. Exactly. They want right. The attention. They yes. Can't live without it.
So I think that's all that is. I don't think that's really anything to necessarily look into, but, you know, people find it interesting. And so you roll with it. But as far as Hopkins himself as a player, I think he would be a solid addition. He knows Bill O'Brien's system. If everything that happened between, you know, O'Brien and Hopkins in Houston is truly water under the bridge, then I say you take a shot for the right price. I mean, don't go crazy. You know, don't put the rest of your salary cap towards him as a, you know, on a 3-4 year deal with a bunch of guaranteed money. But no, I think he would be a quality number one ish option, which would allow Juju to, you know, have an even better season, which I mentioned before. And so I'd go for it for the right price, but I don't think you need to, you know, go crazy for him.
All right, so you are making your way Wednesday down to Foxborough for the next day in OTAs. This is the first media avail, correct, Andy, during the OTA OTA session since last week.
It was supposed to be one, but a thing happened. So
well, yeah, what happened last week?
It's weird. They give you a time limit, and you choose to ignore the time limit. And then by some reports, they tell you, stop ignoring the time limit, and you still ignore the time limit. Oh, it's so Patriots. That's so Patriots.
That should be the new name of a segment on here. That's so Patriots.
We should do that.
We really should. Hold on, I'm actually writing it down right now. I like that very much. Good job, Andy. Between that and the game show you brought up on the fly this weekend with our Celtics recap, Andy, you've been on point with the irreverent and off-key, and I am here for it, damn near celebrating it. But so what's next in the OTA process? Like what happens next? What do we look for? Is it just – What are they doing between now, Andy and Mike? What do we look for, or what are they doing between like now and June 12th when like mini camp breaks out?
Well, the first thing we get Bill Belichick availability, which is now even more interesting after the slap on the wrist and the fining from the league, but also just interesting in terms of you're in the process now. You're on the field with players, and they're coming together, and he'll emphasize that it's a teaching camp and not a evaluation period, but there is evaluation going on at all times. We know that. Like, you are last year players were evaluating this time, and they were evaluating that, boy, this offense blows and this guy seems to be a bit of a boob, and they were dead right come 3 months later, 5 months later, 8 months later. So two-way streets of evaluation will be taking place. I actually think this time around players will be like, wow, this guy really seems like he knows what he's doing over there, that calling these offensive plays. This is nice to have. So
we're not running into each other. This is insane.
No, like we have spacing and like the quarterback seems happier and I seem happier and everybody's happy. But also like Mike's guy, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, first look at where he is, Mike Gesicki, where he is, what personnel groups they're trying out, they're throwing out there. Now, I will say, historically, they throw weird things at you in this time period, even in training camp. Like, they put people in the most difficult positions to learn, and then if it doesn't work, if they decide that's not how they're going to use it, then they put them back sort of in their more traditional usage. So we can have overreactions here, whether it's, oh my God, what are they doing with Mike Gesicki? He's always blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, relax. See where we get to in a month or two. But the evaluations of personnel, again, if Mike's people are going to get all jazzed up because of Christian Gonzalez in shorts and a t-shirt, well, now he'll be in shorts and a t-shirt opposite an actual receiver. So, woohoo, it's going to be fun time in Foxborough.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, too. Just, you know, the position groupings and who reps with who.
Yep.
And again, there's not – yeah, it definitely matters. And, again, I think personally it would be silly. We have – I don't even think – we kind of sound like Bill Belichick this offseason. I don't think we've said the name Mac Jones once on this show. We've been recording for almost a half hour.
Well, and I don't know – like, wow, how about that? Good on – yeah, you're
it's
right,
funny
yeah.
that he's the entire story all at once, but also not really the story because there's so much new around him where it's just like his hype – he was overhyped. Now he's probably underhyped, so reality will be somewhere in the middle. He slides in, or whether you average out Pro Bowl playoff rookie year to – basement turd show second year. Well, that just averages out to, I think I saw Chris Sims 20th best quarterback. Like, he's just a middle of the road guy in year three now with plenty to prove, but not a lot of, I don't know, hype around him. So yeah, we'll be watching all of that. Now, as you just said, reps matter. And if we're like, hey, this is the third thing they've done in a row where Bailey Zappi took the first rep. Should we read anything into it? Now, I don't think that's actually going to happen, but if it did, that'll be a story. Bailey Zappi's at the Celtics all the time. We can blame him for why the Celtics fall on their face.
Yeah, maybe he's the reason.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's been, well, come on, the man just got engaged. Let him live Zappily ever after. Come on, stop, Andy. Let him. Yeah, well, he did it, so I'm just parroting what he did in the first place.
You think he's zappy with his decision?
Oh, just all right. Take a timeout. Take a lead. Maybe a powder, a shower, or maybe whatever. If I had the Tony Reale button, I would mute you for a second. The one thing I'm really looking forward to most is the potential with Bill O'Brien and all these guys is the positional versatility and flexibility on the offense. Like, what are they like with Mike Gesicki, who's a tight end, who's a wide receiver in tight ends clothing? Kendrick Bourne coming back to the party after being thoroughly irrelevant last year because he was in the doghouse and frustrated and just didn't jive with the offense. I don't think anyone really did. You know, your boy James Robinson, how they're going to utilize him. Will they have he and Ramondre on the field at the same time? Does Ty Montgomery factor back in? What do they get out of Pierre Strong? Can Tyquan Thornton stretch the field and open it up so that there's actually room for these guys to operate? That's going to be part of the fun. And just like getting the first glimpses of that starting now into minicamp is going to be some nice food for us to chew on over the next couple of weeks. I can't wait to see. Two more things, boys. So there was a story over the weekend. Old Jimmy Garoppolo apparently failed his physical and had off-season foot surgery. Should be ready for the start of the season. However, you know where it's going, Andy.
Odds. One of those like offline books has Tom Brady. If Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't start the opener, Tom Brady's the most likely to do. Like, what are we doing here?
Can you imagine? Wait, can you imagine the uproar? Just think for one second what the uproar would be like if they invalidate the contract and they just say, like, you know, that's it. Now the foot's an issue. And Raiders minority owner Tom Brady gets the start under center, and now they have to postpone Tom Brady Day, which they just went through announcing, and all the amnesty and the good vibes that brought back to Foxborough. People stock, you know, getting their 12 jerseys out of storage, maybe even making a few impulse purchases to get ready for September 10th. Just what would happen What would the
is that
what
even
would the
legal?
Shock?
Can no. that even happen?
Well, I believe he would need the votes of all 32 owners would have to vote for it. So now
can
the
he
one
just
thing
sell
I
his stake is that
that's the one
it?
Thing I don't know how quickly he could divest himself.
Can you put an escrow? Like what happens?
Yeah, it's a weird situation. It's so Tom Brady. It's like there's always something around him. He's become just this like traveling story in the end of his career, the way everything, you know, his final couple of years in New England, then in everything is just weird. There's always
Kim
something
Kardashian.
About yes.
Oh, my God.
Now
right.
he's
Good
with
Lord
a Kardashian, there. Although there were the Reese Witherspoon rumors first before the Kardashian. Like, he's a constant. He's perfect for your world, Mike. Like the
I was
Twitter
just gonna and... say, Andy, I'm gonna make you talk about this all the time.
Well, I gotta be honest with you.
Attaboy. Attaboy. A couple of Fitzy points for Mikey K. All right.
So I push back on it a lot, but I'm kind of interested in the Brady Kardashian thing. It's so crazy. Like it's the D-Hop stuff or like those little like googly eyes on Twitter. Those annoy me. Oh, look at who this person is following or the likes and this. But if he's with Kim Kardashian, that's a whole different level. That's like worlds colliding. That's like Hogan and Savage, the mega powers come together. Like that I'm actually really interested in because and I'm interested in the angle of what's Giselle thinking? Like if she sees Tom with Kim Kardashian, like there's so many layers to that.
The fit that she would throw in her house, I would hell hath no fury. And also you have to think, like, aside from Brady and Kim Kardashian being two ridiculously sculpted and engineered beautiful people, like both would probably have to have multiple people in the room before they even go out on their first date to see like the flash and be like, all right, so here's the arrangements, this is good for both brands, we agree upon three tweets about each other per week. Like, you know, it would be a whole structured and engineered union temporarily probably.
And I would love to read that prenup.
I would kill to see that document.
I would kill to hear the voice that Giselle used, my husband cannot throw the ball and catch it too. That voice going off on, she just found out Brady's dating Kim Kardashian. Oh my, for that audio, King's ransom for that audio, baby.
See, then this is all the fun stuff. Andy and I are busy attending to 1,000 other different matters, and you get to go clean up in Isle Brady all these things now, Mike, at WEEI and with all the host of responsibilities. What fun this is going to be for you, pal.
Let's go.
All right, and last one real quick. Fun little exercise, guys. I saw this tweet about a little over a week ago, grabbed it and tucked it away for not a rainy day, but just a quick chance to talk some Pats pre-mini camp. This would be a great first way to get a feel on the roster, what Mike sees as the best parts, the highs and lows and more. So it is the Patriots superlatives 2023. We're talking most overrated, underrated, best player, key new addition, surprise, leap year, prove it, etc. So I'm just going to throw it out there. You guys give me a quick reaction with a name and then I'll give you mine afterwards. So let's start with the most overrated player currently on the New England Patriots. Okay, feel free, Andy, Mike, jump in whenever you want.
You got to think about this. You dropped it on us quickly.
I know. It's kind of fun, though. It's a quick reaction. All right, I'll give you mine.
If I'm going to say most overrated, I'm being disrespectful. I need to be disrespectful with some thought behind it.
Okay, well, I saw a number of different names from Mac Jones. Some people online wrote Bill Belichick. Mine personally was Cole Strange.
What? That's stupid.
Overrated, though?
I'll tell you why. It's not stupid. It's my opinion. Okay.
It's stupid.
All right. Okay.
There's no stupid opinions, just stupid people with opinions.
Okay. All right. The reason why I said Cole Strange is because the way that they just went about taking all these guards in the fourth and fifth round, like the investment in like City Sow and Antonio Mafi, et cetera, people they found like Mike Onwenu who end up working in the sixth round. To me, this is not even so much me coming after the player as much as it is coming after the player and the pick, because if you expect this guy to be a world-class starter from the first round, but you can get comparable talent in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round, then what a waste of a draft pick and what a step backwards that was last year. So it's kind of a two-pronged approach to saying most overrated, but that's my thinking behind it.
So I think I like the Belichick one.
I had a feeling you would. That's why I dropped it.
In part, that's due to the rating he built up over 20 years. Like, he raised the bar so high that he's no longer meeting his own expectations with decision-making, winning, success, all of those things post-Tom Brady. But if I was going to go with a player, This is a weird one because I think the player is at a crossroads and I'm not sure what I think of him. But Josh Uche, you have 11 and a half sacks over the second half of last season as a pure kind of pass rusher, athlete, role player. Does he take it to the next level? Can he even maintain that? Does he just live off, oh, I'm a double-digit sack guy for a few years? So I don't know if overrated, but this is an interesting time period for Josh Uche in a contract year coming off 11 and a half sacks over a half a season.
Mike?
I'm going to go, and I have two in my head, so I'm going to go with Calvin Anderson. And I know nobody's like, you know, fawning over him as far as like he's going to be, you know, one of the best tackles on the team.
Would have never, ever guessed that the guy that might be competing with Riley Reiff in the Hobo Royale for right tackle on the Patriots would
I'll
be
give you a better one overrated. After I give my Calvin Anderson reasoning, then I'll give you a better one. But no, I think everyone thinks that he's just going to make the team. I think that everyone just thinks that Calvin Anderson is just coming in here. He's going to be here and he's going to be, you know, whether it's the starting tackle or a swing tackle, I think there's a high chance that he's, you know, cut right away. I think with City Sal coming in, I think Riley Reiff is going to take on that position right away. I think Reiff is objectively better. And again, overrated is strong because I don't know how much people are really clamoring over Calvin Anderson, but got to bring the hot takes in on the first episode.
Yeah. But he's not afraid to go build and go big. All right. And who's your bet? Who's the backup /1A?
The other one was Hunter Henry. I wonder about
there we go.
Claire, somewhere Clazzy Claire, not happy.
Oh, yeah. I know. Like Hunter Henry's wife and Sophie Scott are all like, ew, bad Dedham vibes.
Yeah, right. No, I know. Yeah, good point. I know. I gotta represent the whole
town. Watch out. If you see them at Whole Foods, they're gonna be like, we were gonna follow you, Mike. Is it Kit Kat? No, it's Cadillac. Yeah, we're good. Yeah, we didn't like that.
It's something you can lick right in.
Whoa, Andy.
What?
Yeah, there we go. I'll run into them at Legacy Place, and I'm, instead of, you know, trying to get a scoop, they're gonna ignore me. But I wonder, they have no blocking tight ends at all. They just have, you know, essentially two de facto wide receivers because neither him or Gesicki are real, you know,
inline blocker powerhouses.
They're not threats in the run game. And so I just wonder how much of an impact he'll actually have this season.
All right. That's the most fun one to chew on because of the fact that it can get us into hot water. It could be a take that comes back to bite us in the ass or that we could victory lap on. Let's try to move quickly through these other ones. Who do you think is most underrated? Mine was Mac Jones.
James Robinson.
John Jones. Right.
Ooh, good call. All right. Good one all around right there, boys. Who's the best player on the Patriots? I think there's two answers there. I went Mondre.
I would go Matthew Judon, but I think he is also a candidate for most overrated. Once I saw those top 100 ballots that had him at number, was it five?
Five and nine and 11.
I'm sorry. Yeah. He's not the fifth best player in the NFL. He's probably not even the fifth best defensive player in the NFL. But on the Patriots, he's really good and he's been consistent. You got to give him credit for what he is consistently.
Yeah, it's Judon. No question.
Okay.
He just said no question and then questioned himself.
Look what we've already done to him. Man, one day
we broke him.
One pot and we broke him.
Oh no. What have I done?
I love it. All right. Key new addition. I think we can all say on three, we should all just say his nickname on three. One, two, three. Gonzo. Nice.
Yeah, okay.
That was easy. Good job. Could surprise. I had James Robinson.
Won't be a surprise to some of us.
Yes, engineer. I know. I understand. Who do you think, Andy? Who are you looking for potentially a surprise? Whether you want to call it a bounce back season, out of nowhere, you have tempered or lowered expectations for. Who do you think that could be?
I'm going to say Jalen Mills. Now, I don't know if he really qualifies, but I think he's now in the role he should be and was probably brought here to be, which was a piece in the back end, not a pure corner, not your number one corner by any means, and emergency fill in for McCourty. Well, now McCourty's gone, so now it's kind of your. I think in that, whatever that role is specifically going to be for him as a free safety type, I think his skills are better suited to that. So I think you could see good return on investment there.
I'm going to go with Jack Jones. I think, you know, with the way his season ended last year, obviously, you know, Fitz, you said it could be a kind of bounce back type. I think he was really solid before his injury. You know, obviously remember the pick six against Rodgers. I think he did. He had the acrobatic one in the red uniforms against the Lions. So he has the skill set. It's going to be whether he can, you know, keep his head on straight. So if he does that, I think he could be, he could end up being their other boundary corner opposite of Christian Gonzalez when it's all said and done.
It's funny because the next one is who takes a leap in 2023. And that's where I have Jack Jones, because I think he actually, when healthy with his head, hopefully screwed on a bit more straight, can be a key cog in the defense this year, which is going to have to keep the Patriots in big games. Andy,
what's the exact takes a leap?
Takes a leap. Yeah. Who is this? You know, for example, like Tyquan Thornton would be a candidate because he like does next to nothing last year. You were unhappy with his game in the second half of the season.
A good Christian man, Christian Barmore, who went from the next Aaron Donald a year ago to, I think people are kind of sleeping on him. And I still think he has ridiculous upside, and I think some of the versatility of everybody else around him on the defensive front will help him in his matchups. Christian Barmore will take a massive leap.
If I could redo my underrated, I would change it to Christian Barmore. I think that clearly I don't have much conviction. I think that's what you guys can tell from me. I'm not really what was the wording here?
The wording here exactly was who takes a leap.
Oh, okay. Mac Jones.
Oh, there we go. Okay, no, that's a viable. Good for
now,
you.
Is that a leap in production or a leap off the Tobin Bridge? Because his career that was once on track for $250 million is dead.
See, production. I'm sorry. We should have had a 30-minute prep meeting where you get ready for just the Andy Hart experience overall.
Andy can be a lot, Mike. It's a lot.
I wish I went through training prior to recording.
All right, no regrets now, kid. We got you locked in for at least a year. And finally, prove it year. I went with Ronnie Perkins because this guy has done nothing in the first 2 years since the Patriots drafted him. So I guess anything would be something, but either like earn your spot or kick rocks and join the, you know, the Sean Crables and the Jermaine Cunninghams and the other defensive, Jake Bickett, like all these other guys who came in like, hey, this guy should be able to play. Like, no, he can't. And it was kind of a whiff of a pick. So I go Ronnie Perkins. Andy.
I'm going to go back to the Josh Uche well.
A double because, Uche.
Well, you know that Judon has always said Uche is the best pass rusher on the team. Everybody's talked about his skills. He's in a contract year. This is a really interesting year for him. And if he proves he's what he was over the second half, even if he's a secondary rusher, like really kind of living a little bit off Judon, but on the other side, like rotational guy, if you get double-digit sacks, you get paid. It almost doesn't matter the details of how you got there. So I'll go Josh Uche.
I'm going to go Kendrick Bourne. He was in the doghouse last year for some reason. Maybe it was, you know, maybe it should have happened. Maybe it shouldn't, whatever. We don't really know. There was a little bit of rumors, but anyway, he was good here his first season. He was solid. And then last year he was put on the shelf. And he's going to have an opportunity. He's going to have the opportunity to bounce back. Do or die, sink or swim, prove it, KB. Can you be here or can you not? So I think it's KB.
Yeah, like so many good vibes, such great productivity. People thinking he'd be Debo Samuel 2.0 on the Patriots. He was one of the two guys who really showed up in the Buffalo ass-whipping playoff game a year and a half ago. Can he get back to where he was? Can he actually surge past that and become not just an integral part of this team, but maybe beyond as well, should he play well enough to get offered a deal, stick around with the Pats, and want to be part of the turnaround. Good job, Mike. Good job, Andy. There we go, boys. Mike, that was your first Six Rings in Football Things podcast. Now we're in the post game. How are we feeling?
Excellent. Ready to
now
roll.
We're going to go to the rolling. HR and talk about things.
Yeah, I feel triggered. That was a really intense first word.
Yeah, it was great. But like you said, Andy, do you guys know where the HR office is? Right? No, it's great.
No, dude, you did a great job, man. That's awesome. As are we. And, you know, people will have vacations during the summer. Mike is going to be contributing from down at the stadium with reports and segments until he gets his own Patriots thing fired up and running prior to the season as well. He'll be a member of this particular community and podcast as well as everything Patriots and beyond at WEEI. And WEEI.com, and you'll find him on the Odyssey app as well. Once again, give him a follow at Mike Cadlick here on at Six Rings Pod. Please rate, review, subscribe, and share. We'll be back in a couple of days with another episode full of Lord knows what, but we are here for you to try to get the positive sports train back on track in Boston. For producer Justin Turpin and everyone at WEEI, Odyssey, and 2400 Sports, Andy, Mike Cadlick, and Fitzy. This has been Six Rings and Football Things. We will talk to you soon, everybody. Great job, Mike. Take care, folks. Good day. God bless. And as always,
go Pats.